Welcome to Agent Driven Development, Meridian, the Moonshot, published March 14th, 2026.
The platform team floor was quiet. It is Friday, March 7th, 2025, at 4:47 p.m. Robert Chen stands in the doorway of the Meridian Freight headquarters in Atlanta, watching the last engineer pack a cardboard box. 40 desks, 40 monitors, 40 chairs, all empty now, except for this one, where a woman named Jessica is carefully wrapping a small cactus in newspaper. Jessica looks up, startled, and calls him Mr. Chen. She says she did not expect to see him. Robert tells her he wanted to say goodbye to everyone, but he realizes he is too late. Jessica says most people left around 3 once the email went out. She says it is okay and that they all knew it was coming. Robert nods. They had known. The platform team had been building Meridian 2.0 for 2 years, and they were nowhere close to feature parity with the legacy system. Every quarter, the demo showed promise. Every quarter, the shipping date slipped. And every quarter, more of their best customers defected to Axiom. Robert tells her that for what it is worth, he is sorry. Jessica picks up her box. She tells him he gave them a chance, which is more than most companies do. She pauses at the door. She suggests that maybe next time he should try something different. Whatever they were doing here was not working, and she does not think doing more of it would have helped. She leaves. Robert stands alone in the empty floor, fluorescent lights humming overhead. 40 engineers. 2 years. $15 million in salaries. And nothing to show for it except a prototype that crashed whenever you tried to process more than 1,000 shipments. This was Meridian's third transformation failure in a decade. By 5:30 p.m., Robert is in his office with the door closed, sitting in the dark. On his desk is a folder prepared by his chief financial officer. It is a summary of Meridian's transformation investments since 2015. The third failure follows a long pattern. The first was the Aldrich Partners engagement from 2015 to 2017. The goal was a complete platform rewrite. The investment was $18 million. The result was only 30% functionality replicated before the project was canceled. The lesson learned was that big bang rewrites do not work. The second failure was the Vantage Digital engagement from 2018 to 2020. The goal was a strangler pattern migration. The investment was $14 million. The result was that microservices could not match legacy performance. The lesson learned was that gradual migration creates integration nightmares. Then came the third failure, the platform team from 2023 to 2025. The goal was to build Meridian 2.0 alongside the legacy system. The investment was $15 million. The result was that they never reached feature parity and the team was disbanded. The lesson learned was that internal teams get pulled back to legacy maintenance. Total investment was $47 million. Total shipped was nothing. Robert stares at the numbers. $47 million, 3 attempts over a decade, 3 failures, and Axiom is growing 40% year over year while Meridian stock sits flat. His phone buzzes with a text from his wife, Ellen. She asks if he is coming home for dinner or if it is another late night. He tells her it is a late night and that he is sorry. She asks if everything is okay. He tells her he is just thinking. She asks about what. He tells her he is thinking about whether he is the problem. 3 dots appear and disappear. Ellen tells him he is not the problem. He is the one who keeps trying to solve it. That is not the same thing. By 7 o'clock p.m., Robert pulls up the quarterly analyst reports. He has read them a dozen times, but he makes himself read them again. The reports say Meridian Freight continues to struggle with legacy system modernization. Growth has stalled and market share erosion to cloud-native competitors like Axiom Logistics appears irreversible. They maintain a hold rating. The inability to execute raises questions about long-term viability. 3 failed transformations, the analysts knew, the industry knew, everyone knew, except apparently the consultants who kept taking Meridian's money. Robert opens his laptop and scrolls through the postmortems, hundreds of pages of analysis, root cause investigations, lessons learned, workshops. The consultants always had explanations, scope creep, insufficient executive sponsorship, inadequate change management. Never once did they say that maybe their approach does not work. Never once did they say you cannot transform a living system. Never once did they say you need to start over. Robert closes his laptop through his window. He can see downtown Atlanta. Somewhere out there, Axiom is probably working late too, building features, signing customers, getting ready for their initial public offering. Robert has heard the rumors. Axiom is targeting mid-2026. If they go public, they will have hundreds of millions in capital. They can hire the best engineers and undercut Meridian on every deal. If Axiom goes public, Meridian has maybe 2 years before the end. On Saturday morning at 9 o'clock a.m., Robert sits on his back patio in Buckhead with cold coffee. Ellen joins him. She notes he did not come to bed until 3 a.m. Robert tells her he has spent 10 years trying to save the company and $47 million on transformations. He says they are worse off now than when he started. Ellen tells him to try something different. Robert says he has tried everything. Consultants, contractors, internal teams, nothing works. Ellen asks if he has tried asking the people who actually know the system. She asks if any of those fancy engineers actually know why the system does what it does. Robert realizes she is right. Aldrich brought in a team without logistics experience. Vantage specialized in modernization, but never worked with COBOL. The platform team hired fresh graduates who could build modern systems but did not understand the old ones. None of them knew the systems. They were trying to rebuild something they did not understand. Ellen points out that the people who do understand, the ones who have been there for decades, are leaving. Harry Thornton retired last fall. Gloria Reyes is thinking about leaving. The institutional knowledge is walking out the door. She suggests he should ask them what they know before it is too late. Robert wonders what happens if he gets the people who know the system and pairs them with engineers who can build modern technology. He thinks the board would never approve another transformation after three failures. Ellen tells him not to call it a transformation. Robert asks what he should call it. Ellen smiles and says he has time to figure it out. On Monday, March 10th at 9 o'clock a.m., Robert walks past the empty platform team floor at headquarters. His assistant, Patricia Hawkins, tells him the board wants a postmortem meeting on Friday. Analysts want to comment on the platform team disbanding. Robert tells her to say they are evaluating strategic options. He also tells her to set up coffee with Harry Thornton, the former senior systems architect. On Wednesday at 10:30 a.m., Harry Thornton is waiting at Cafe Intermezzo in Midtown Atlanta. He looks rested. Retirement agrees with him. They order coffee. Harry asks about the business, and Robert gives him the honest version. The platform team is gone. Axiom is growing. The board is restless. Harry tells him the platform team was doomed from the start. Those kids were smart, but they had no idea what the system actually does. They did not understand the routing engine. They did not know about the 7-minute, 32-second timeout, the carrier fallback chains, or the compliance triggers. They built a modern front end on top of a domain. They could not see. The consultants had the same problem. They never once sat down with someone who had actually run freight through the system. Harry makes an offer. He asks for 6 months and three good COBOL developers who have worked in logistics. He says he can refactor the routing engine and open up the application programming interfaces so engineers can build on top. He wants to save the existing system. Robert realizes Harry is the smartest systems thinker they have ever had, but Harry cannot see past preservation. The system is his life's work. Asking him to tear it down is like asking him to demolish the house he raised his children in. Harry cannot see the solution because he is too close to the patient. Robert drives back to the office. He thinks that every word of Harry's diagnosis is right, but the prescription is wrong. Harry wants to save the system because that is what he has always done. The answer cannot come from Harry. Robert needs Harry's brain, but not his instinct. That night at 9:30 p.m., Robert sits in his home office with a glass of bourbon. He scrolls through the postmortems again, but this time he reads the anonymous engineer feedback. One wrote that they were building a copy of a system they did not understand. Another said the specs were wrong because nobody could tell them what the application was doing in production. A third said the people who understood the domain were in a different building and they could only meet with Harry Thornton every 2 weeks. Robert realizes everyone's instinct is to preserve what exists. That is human. But the direction cannot come from inside. The knowledge has to come from inside, but the vision has to come from somewhere else. They tried to transform a living system. They tried to change the organization while it was running. The organism rejected the transplant every time. You cannot rebuild a ship while it is at sea. You cannot transform an organization that is using every spare calorie to survive. The $50 million question was never a technology problem. It was a structural mistake. Problem one was that they did not know what their customers actually needed. Problem two was that they did not know what their own application was doing. Problem three was that the domain experts and the engineers had never been in the same room. And the structural mistake was trying to change the existing organization. The organization is optimized for what it does. Every committee and approval chain exists because someone created it to solve a problem in the past. Together, they formed a structure that can maintain a legacy system and nothing else. Robert pulls out a legal pad and begins to write, "Stop transforming. Start building. Do not change the existing organization. Build a parallel one. Separate teams, separate governance, separate building, no connection to the legacy structure. The old organization keeps running to keep the lights on. Fund the new one from the operating budget already being spent on failed transformations. The new organization does not ask the old one for permission. No architecture review boards, no steering committees, just people who know the domain and people who can build. Start with the signals. What do customers need? What is the application doing? Veterans know what the system does, so use their knowledge, but do not follow their instincts. 12 people, 14 months, total secrecy. At the bottom of the page, he writes one word: Prometheus. He looks at the empty platform team floor and decides it is time to steal some fire. 2 weeks later, Robert is at the Freight Technology Summit in Las Vegas. He stands alone at the coffee station while everyone else clusters around the Axiom booth. A presenter says the future of logistics is cloud-native with real-time tracking and no legacy constraints. Robert sees his own customers nodding along. Margaret Sullivan, the chief technology officer of Hartley Shipping, approaches. Robert asks how the Axiom pilot is going. She hesitates and says they are evaluating options. Everyone is. She says her board wants innovation and customers want modern interfaces. She tells him his system still runs on green screens and her team has to dial into a terminal. It is 2025. She says at some point, the work has to be done later. Robert sits in a panel titled Legacy Modernization. Consultants explain that the key is executive sponsorship and roadmaps and governance. Robert has had all those things and produced nothing but invoices. A question comes from the audience about whether transformation ever becomes impossible. A consultant says some companies may need to consider if it is worth the investment. Sometimes the market has moved on. Robert walks out. The next morning, Axiom announces its intent to file for an initial public offering targeting mid-2026. Their revenue is up 40%. They are processing 1 million shipments daily. Robert calculates the timeline. If Axiom goes public, they will have $500 million in the bank. They will hire the best and undercut Meridian on every deal. Meridian has 2 or 3 years left. Robert flies home for an emergency board meeting. 8 directors sit around the table. Half look scared, the other half resigned. Carlos Vega says their stock dropped 8% and analysts are downgrading them. Customers are asking for contingency plans in case Meridian fails. 15 of their top 50 accounts have initiated formal vendor evaluations. James Crawford, the longest tenured director, suggests a sale or merger. He says private equity firms see value in the contracts and cash flow, but not the technology. They would strip the company for parts. Robert tells them there's another option. He says he is talking about building something new, not fixing the old system. Replacing it? He wants a modern platform built from scratch. AI-native architecture designed for the problems they actually have. He proposes building it in secret with a small team and launching it before Axiom goes public. James says that is insane. Robert says it is also insane to spend another $50 million on consultants who have never shipped anything. He explains that you cannot renovate a house while you're living in it, but you can build a new house next door and move in when it is ready. Robert asks for 14 months and $8 million. He says 12 people who know what they are building can succeed where 40 people who did not failed. Domain knowledge is the missing piece. The board votes. The motion carries 5-3. Robert demands complete secrecy. He says if Axiom knows what they are building, they will accelerate. Their only advantage is surprise back in his office. Robert makes a list. He needs a product leader who is customer obsessed. He needs someone who knows how to build with AI and run a parallel organization, and he needs engineers who can execute. His Rolodex is full of operators and consultants, but no builders. He calls Victoria Hartwell. She recommends Zara Okafor for product. Zara was vice president of product at Lodestar and once worked loading docks at UPS to understand the work. For the organization, she recommends Dane Kowalski. Dane built an AI-native system as a parallel organization at Corec in 14 months. He also tried it inside an existing organization at Helix and failed. He knows both sides. Robert calls Dane. He explains the legacy platform and the 3 failures. Dane asks if any of those were structured as a parallel organization. Robert says no. Dane says, then you have not actually tried the thing that works. You have tried 3 variations of the thing that does not work. Robert zooms with Dane for 90 minutes. Dane draws a parallel organization structure on a whiteboard. He says he knows how to structure the AI methodology, but he does not know the domain. He tells Robert to get Zara Okafor. He says you need domain experts as sources for the AI to learn from. The product person decides what to build. Dane will design how to build it. But the direction must come from the customer, not from institutional memory. The next morning, Robert meets Zara Okafor at a coffee shop in Midtown Atlanta. Zara is skeptical. She says she read the Glassdoor reviews from the platform team engineers. One wrote that they spent 2 years building something nobody could explain. Zara says that is not a bad engineer. That is someone set up to fail. Robert tells her they are building a parallel organization. Zara asks what survived the $47 million in failures. Robert says the customers and the domain knowledge. Zara tells him that the risky option is not the parallel organization. The risky option is doing the same thing to another group of people and watching them burn out. She writes three scenarios on a napkin. Scenario one is doing nothing, which leads to certain death. Scenario two is another conventional transformation, which is certain death but more expensive. Scenario three is the parallel organization. It is an $8 million bounded bet. Zara says the parallel organization is actually the conservative play. It is the lowest risk option he has. She says the $47 million was not wasted if he learns that the organization made it impossible to succeed. If you blame the people, you get the same result. If you blame the structure, you can change the structure. Zara agrees to lead product on one condition. She wants full authority over what they build. She says if she sits in dispatch chairs for a month and decides they only need 60 features instead of 340, Robert must back her. She wants to be in the room with the veterans every day. Robert agrees. They drive to an Atlanta Express dispatch center. Zara sits behind a woman named Renee for 3 hours. She watches Renee navigate three different systems and a spreadsheet with 247 carrier overrides. Just to generate a quote, Renee says corporate has never asked her how she works in 9 years. Zara tells her she is doing something remarkable with terrible tools. Zara tells Robert she has 47 observations from 3 hours. She wants a month to sit in dispatch chairs. She says the previous teams built for the system. She builds for Renee. Next, Robert finds Nora Vasquez. Her father worked at Meridian for 22 years. Nora leads an AI developer platform team at Sorin. She tells Robert to find where work actually waits in the process. Map that, and you will know what to build first. She says you need a tech lead who can translate between domain veterans and an AI coding agent. She points him to a site called agentdrivendevelopment.com. Robert calls Harry Thornton. He takes him to a converted warehouse in the Atlanta Industrial District. He tells Harry that six veterans will work with six engineers. Harry will lead the veterans. Harry agrees on the condition that the veterans are full partners, not just consultants. Robert then recruits Maya Liang. She is a senior engineer at Tessera with a following for her automated deployment pipelines. Robert offers her $485,000 and the chance to architect a platform from scratch. Maya meets Harry. Harry tells her about a 7-minute, 32-second timeout that has existed since 1994 because of one customer in Memphis. He says domain knowledge is history and culture. Maya is in. By mid-May, all 12 are assembled in the warehouse. The veterans on one side, the engineers on the other. Robert tells them they are Project Prometheus. He says the industry thinks they are dying, but they are being reborn. Maya claps her hands to stop the chaos of the first morning. The engineers want to talk about application programming interfaces. The veterans want to talk about carrier preferences. Maya tells them to have one conversation in the language of the customer. She writes 7 steps on a whiteboard. Request, quote, compare carriers. Book, track, handle exceptions, confirm delivery, invoice. She says if a feature does not support one of these steps, they do not build it. There is friction. Sophia, a young engineer, wants to start coding. Harry asks her about hazardous materials and detention time and weather overrides. Sophia realizes she does not know what she does not know. Harry tells her he was the same way at her age, but building the wrong thing is worse than building nothing. Maya and Harry spend 3 days together. Harry talks and Maya translates his knowledge into specifications for the AI. By Friday, they have a working prototype of the quote system. Harry is amazed. He says it would have taken weeks in the old system. Maya tells him the AI just needs the right information. Harry realizes he was the observability layer for 40 years. He was the person they called at 3 a.m. But that knowledge is anecdotal memory. Maya wants to instrument the legacy system to see what it is actually doing. She wants to know which code paths are load-bearing and which are scar tissue. They interview customers. Gloria sets up the calls. A dispatcher says she only uses the basic quote screen. She has no idea what the advanced rate tools or the contract comparison modules are. A shipping manager says he has been asking for automated bills of lading for 6 years while the system added a predictive demand module he never opened. Maya tallies the numbers. The legacy system has about 340 features. Customers use about 60. 45 were built specifically for one customer consolidated bulk. 235 features are used by nobody. Zara notes that 80% of features serve 20% of customers. 10 accounts generate 73% of support tickets, but only 31% of revenue. She says they should only build the 60 features that serve the 80% of customers who generate margin. They will stop letting a few accounts hold the roadmap hostage. This simplifies the platform and opens the door to mid-sized shippers who could never afford the old system. Dane Kowalski stands at the whiteboard. He says they have 60 features and 240 days. That is too slow. He wants to ship a feature a day. Harry laughs and says the quote system took a week. Dane says the first one is always slow, but the AI compounds. He says if they do not average one per day, they will not make the timeline. Harry argues that speed killed the other transformations. Dane says the opposite killed them. They slowed down to get it right and never shipped anything. He says speed and quality are not opposites. If you ship every day, you test every day. You catch bugs that night, not in 2 weeks. They agree on a compromise. The pace belongs to Dane. The quality belongs to Harry. If they conflict, quality wins. Tyler Brooks, the security engineer, wants 2 weeks to configure firewalls and virtual private networks. Maya says they only have 12 people and they cannot wait. Dane brings in a consultant who sets up a secure cloud environment and encrypted laptops in one afternoon. He says security controls are in the template. Every environment gets the same controls because the agents will not build it any other way. The brain dump continues. Harry explains why the routing module checks carrier availability 3 times. It is an archaeological dig of layers added over decades. Maya suggests a compatibility layer for legacy integrations while using a cleaner approach for new ones. Maya starts training a domain knowledge model. The AI consumes Harry's explanations and Gloria's workflows. It learns to ask the questions Harry would ask. In an integration test, the system handles 23 edge cases correctly, including carrier rejections and detention time. Harry is stunned. He says the machine finally listens and remembers. In September, the billing module crashes. The exchange rates are wrong because the spec did not mention using the rate at the time of booking. Maya realizes that 40 years of knowledge is like trying to move an ocean with buckets. They move to paired development. Veterans and engineers sit together while they build. Gloria catches mistakes the moment Maya starts typing. It is slower per module, but they ship fewer bugs. Harry realizes his memory is still not enough. He uses his old credentials to remote into the mainframe on a Friday night. He and Maya use an AI agent to analyze 1,200 programs and inject verbose logging into the routing subsystem. The next morning, Frank Mercer, the Vice President of Information Technology Operations, is furious. The overnight batch ran 6 minutes long. He tells Robert that someone used Harry Thornton's credentials to make unauthorized changes to a system that processes $2 billion in logistics. Robert asks Frank to trust him for 30 days. Maya recompiles the modules with optimization flags. The next batch runs only 1 minute over baseline. The logging stays. It reveals that 26% of routing functions have not fired in 72 hours. It is dead code, but it also reveals ghost functions that fire hundreds of times for consolidated bulk. By October, the hazmat module is done. It passes every test, including a complex scenario from 1999 involving lithium batteries and a carrier strike. Harry says the system just did in 5 seconds what took his team 3 days to solve. The compound effect kicks in. Rework hours per module drop from 40 in June to 4 in November. Anthropic releases a new AI model that understands context better. It flags time zone edge cases before engineers even see them. Robert brings board members Victoria Hartwell and James Crawford to the warehouse. They see a hazmat route from Mexico to Canada calculated in 5 seconds. James admits he has never seen anything like it. In December, the carrier scoring weights feel wrong to Gloria. Arun, the machine learning engineer, realizes he retrained the model using the wrong baseline period because he was rushing. The team slows down. They spend 3 weeks revalidating the scoring layer. The cost is permanent, but the lesson is learned. Dane stops saying a feature a day. He starts saying a feature when it is right. Robert sets up a shell company called MAI Research to approach customers in secret. Gloria has a list of customers who are unhappy with Axiom. By March, they hit 100% feature parity. The pilots begin. Atlanta Express Shipping, Hartley Shipping, and Pacific Northwest Logistics. In week one, Atlanta Express shows a 6% discrepancy rate. Robert is terrified. Harry realizes they missed 1,200 carrier-specific overrides. They spend 3 days of all-nighters extracting rules from the legacy code. They realize 39% of all overrides exist for one customer, consolidated bulk. Robert decides not to migrate them. He tells their vice president that the days of custom overrides and 7 pricing tiers are over. The customer hangs up. Robert draws a black line through their name on the whiteboard. Ruth Washington catches a compliance issue with seasonal Department of Transportation exemptions for fertilizer. She insists on 4 days to fix it. This catch earns the trust of Margaret Sullivan at Hartley Shipping. Margaret reveals that she is a marquee reference for Axiom's initial public offering, but she's unhappy with their support. Pacific Northwest Logistics is so impressed with the pilot that they ask to migrate fully before the official launch. Jennifer Park says she was planning to leave Meridian, but now she wants to be the first customer on the new platform. As the countdown reaches 34 days, Robert tells Victoria Hartwell the truth. He says the replacement is done and they launch July 5th. He asks her to buy him 1 more month of board stability. Robert gives every person on the team a significant equity stake. He says they bet their careers on a crazy idea and won. On July 4th, Robert briefs 12 skeptical analysts. He shows them the demos and the pilot results. One says they are going to change everything. On July 5th, 2026, the launch happens. Robert wakes at 5 a.m. and receives a text from Nora Vasquez. She tells him to go break something at the warehouse. Press reporters from the Financial Record and MarketWire arrive. Robert tells them the future of logistics is here. Maya shows the platform. Harry explains that the machine listened when the engineers did not. The news hits social media. Analysts scramble to update their reports. Axiom's story is upstage. Robert tells the press that they were dying and they decided to fight. The next day, Axiom Logistics opens its initial public offering at $16. It has no pop. By 10 a.m., it drifts below $15. It closes the day at $12, down 25%. Marcus Webb, the chief information officer of Axiom, calls Robert. He says they did not see them coming. He says he did everything right, and Robert still beat them. A month later, 53 customers are on Meridian One. 70 more are in the pipeline. Maya uses AI agents to handle the massive volume of migration requests. 6 implementation specialists guide the agents. They keep the team small and the overhead low. Harry tells the team he is retiring for real. He and Alan are going to the Amalfi Coast and New Zealand. He says the agents know what he knows now. He is no longer the single point of failure. 1 year later, the warehouse is an innovation center. Meridian One has $890 million in annual revenue on the new platform. The stock price is up 40%. Robert reveals that he turned down a $2 billion buyout offer from private equity. He says they did not spend years keeping the company alive just to sell the first time it looked healthy. In New Zealand, Harry Thornton sits on a porch watching the stars. He is no longer essential. He is ornamental. And he realizes that ornamental life is pretty good. He raises a glass of wine to the Southern Cross and to everything that came after.
Thanks for listening to Agent Driven Development. Find more at agentdrivendevelopment.com.